The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parashas Bahalei Sicho. And this shiur will dwell on the first topic in Parshas Bealei Sicho, but also on the 45th attribute of the Memches Dvorim She'atera Niknes Behem, of the 48 attributes that are necessary for the acquisition of Torah. We skipped that. We went to the 46th and 47th in the last shiur for Shavuos. And that 45th attribute is Shiilmeid Amanas Lasos, that when one learns, in order that it should be a total learning, and this is a condition, if he wants to acquire the Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, just as he must learn and with the condition to teach what he learns, he has to also learn on the condition to fulfill what he learns. What does that have to do with the parsha? Well, we will see in the long run. The parsha begins, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar. Hashem said to Moshe, say, Daber el Aaron v'yamata el Eilov. Speak to Aaron and say to him, Beha'aleisecha es ha'neiris el mul p'nei ha'menorah yu'iru shivash ha'neiris. When you light up the flame of the candles of the menorah, which was in the Beis HaMikdosh, the flames should be against the menorah, against the front of the menorah, the seven candles. Now, what does it mean it should be against the menorah? The menorah had seven branches, or actually six branches. It had the center shaft. It was made out of pure gold. It was very, very large, very extremely large. It was almost as tall as a person. And the fact is, it might have even been taller than a person. And it was made out of pure gold. It had a center shaft. And then it had three complete branches that went from one end to the other, forming three branches on each side. So you had room for six candles on each side and one in the middle. It was not used with wax candles. It was used with pure olive oil. Each one had a utensil. It would be filled with olive oil, and then there would be a wick. And it would be lit. It would be cleansed every morning, and it would be lit every afternoon, sometime between noon and before sunset. And this was 7 days a week, even on Shabbos. They took precedence over Shabbos. And this was done by the Kahanim, and enough oil was placed in the utensils in order that it would last through the longest nights of the winter, last till morning. And then in the morning, the Kahanim would come in, they would cleanse it, take away the old oil and the wicks that were left over, put in fresh ones, and again, towards evening, in the afternoon, it would be once again lit. It was made out of pure gold, as mentioned, and out of one piece of gold. Not, had no joints or welding in it, but it was all hewed out of one piece of pure gold. It was called the Menorah HaTahora. The place of the menorah was in the Mishkan, which later on became the Beis HaMikdosh. If you recall, the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdosh, had a courtyard that was known as the Chotzer, or the Azora. And then it had what was known as the Heichel, and that was the Mikdosh proper, or the Mishkan proper. And in the Heichel, it was divided into two sections, besides its entry hall, which was in the Beis HaMikdash. And one section was called the Kodesh, and the other was called the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim was the Oren, which held the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote, and the Luchais, the tablets, and the Shivrei Luchais, the broken tablets. On top of the Oren were the Kruvim, and that was hewed out of gold, and had a gold top and two images, an image of a young boy and an image of a young girl. Each one had wings, and they were facing each other. Then there was a division, a pareches, curtain, and so forth, which separated the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the Kodesh. In the Kodesh, there you had, as you came in, you had three kelim, three objects. In the center, you had the inner altar, Mizbeach HaPnimi. It was called also the Mizbeach HaZohov, the golden altar, or the Mizbeach HaKtoris, the altar for the incense, because incense was placed only on the inner altar. There was a rare exception to that, but otherwise it was placed only on the inner altar. This was the Mizbeach HaKtoris. Then, as you came in, you were walking from the east to the west. And if you're facing west, so on your right side is north, and on your left side is south. In the north was the Shulchan. And that was a table. And all of these were made with gold and so forth. Was the Shulchan. That was the table. And that was set the Lechem Haponim. There were 12 breads that were put there. They were placed there every Shabbos, and new breads were taken off. Excuse me, the old breads were taken off and given to the Ganim to eat. And then, in the south, which was on your left, was the menorah. This was the place of the menorah, and as we mentioned, this was what was done. What does it mean that the candles, the fire should be lit el mul penei menorah, towards the menorah? In the utensils, the wick was not placed in the center. The wick was placed so it aimed towards the center shaft of the menorah. So the fire was burning towards the inside of the menorah, not towards the outside of the menorah, which is very odd, because when you light something, you want the light to go out. The light was going inward. What is a little strange here, it states Bahaleischo. Bahaleischo means when you bring up the candles, the fire. It should say when you light the fire. Badlokoscho, when you are lighting the fire. And that Rashi brings Hashem Shahalav Ole. See Badlokos on Loshan Aliyah. Shutzorek lahadlik at shetei hashelves ole me'alecha. He went up. He would have to ignite the wick and the oil until the flame would burn and roar by itself. Rashi brings another pshat also. Mikan shemalo ha'iso lifnei menorah. There was a steps to the menorah. For the Kohen, the Kohen had to go up these steps in order to cleanse it and to light it, because as we mentioned, it was very high. now, carries on, Vayaske Naren, El Mulpane Amanora, Hela Neraseho, and this Aaron did, and he lit them so the candles were aimed towards the center. כאשר ציווה השם את משה. וזה מעשה המנורה, מקשו זו ודירכו, הפירכו, מקשו היא. And this is how the menorah should be made, and this is more or less what I've just mentioned. Kemare asher hera Hashem es Moshe kinoso es menorah. Like the picture which Hashem showed Moshe, so did he make the menorah. What does it mean, like the picture which he showed Moshe? Rashi brings the fish in Iskashabo. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained to Moshe the intricacies. It was a very intricate object. It was full of all types of ornamentation and decoration and so forth. When Hashem showed Moshe this menorah, Moshe could not understand how to make it. No matter how many times Hashem repeated it, Moshe was having difficulty. Until finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to him. And then it states Cain also as a menorah. Doesn't say Moshe made it. Actually, in other midrashim it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him a menorah shel esh, a menorah made out of fire. Then it states Cain also a menorah. Doesn't say Moshe made it. It states this is the menorah was made. And the Rashi brings, Al-Yidei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nasis Me'eleho. In the end, Moshe didn't even make it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make it. In the first Rashi, in Baal Yisrocha, excuse me, Rashi asks a question, which is from the Chazal, the sages. Why does this come in now? We already learned about the Mishkan. The Mishkan was made... Here the Mishkan was made a year before. Not quite a year before, but a long time before. The tzivoy, the commands of the Mishkan, was given when Moshe came down from the mountain after receiving the second tablet, which was Yom Kippur of the first year in the desert. And then it was constructed. And then it wasn't until Reish Chodesh Nisan, which was 6 months later, when it was put into place. And that's when the Nesim, last week's Parsha, what we learned at the end of last week's Parsha, the Nesim, the princes, all came to bring their gifts and to dedicate the Mishkan. So now we're speaking 6 months later. Why here does the Torah tell us how to make the menorah? And actually, in Parsha's Truma, there the Torah is telling us how to make it. So this is totally out of place. So Rashi says as follows, Lama nismacho pashas ha-menorah le-pashas ha-nesim. Lefi shikshoro ara in chanukas ha-nesim. It's now Reish Chodesh Nisan. And the Mishkan is going up. And there's great simcha. A great celebration. And the Nesim, the prince of each Shevet, are bringing gifts, these lavish gifts, in order to dedicate the Chanukas HaMizbeach, to dedicate the new altar and the new sanctuary. And it states, Lefi Shikshara Aaron Chanukas HaNesim, when Aaron saw this, Choshos Daitai. It was a big setback for him. It was a big drop for him. Shalehoya Imahem B'Chanukah. Because he wasn't involved. It was the 12 Shvatim, but it was not Shevet Levi. And his tribe was not involved in the celebration and the bringing of the gifts and for the dedication of the new sanctuary. Lehu v'leh shiftai. So therefore, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't feel badly, chayecho, by your life, shalcho g'day l'mishalahem. Your part in the sanctuary will be far greater than theirs. Shaton madlikumeti veshaneres. You and your shevet, your tribe, the kahanim, your family will be the ones that will cleanse and light the menorah every day, while the others won't be able to. That will be left for the kahanim. This is what Rashi tells us. From the sages. Now we can ask a number of questions here. this, the answer to that, needs explanation. Because why is the lighting of the menorah so much greater than everything else in the Mishkan and the sanctuary? And all of the gifts that they brought for the Mizbeach, for the altar. What is meant by that? Secondly, why was it in particular in this keli that Moshe had so much trouble understanding just how to make it? Till HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him himself. And in the end, he made it himself. Why in particular in this keli? Now naturally, we're not referring merely to the to the physical making of it. Evidently, there's a greater depth in this. But what made this so difficult? Someone once mentioned, it was a Talmud Chochem, I think it was our late Rabbi Perlo, Zichrono Livracha, that all people today all try to duplicate the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and the menorah, and with designs and other things. There's even a whole replica. If you go into the old city, you'll find that a beautiful, someone donated it. It's a beautiful menorah. It's a whole replica made out of pure gold. But he said, if Moshe Rabbeinu himself could do it, the Kodesh Baruch Hu told him over and over. And finally Hashem, and he showed him pictures of it. And finally Hashem had to do it himself. So do you think that generations later, every artist and every other type of person is actually going to duplicate it? Then it states that in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it states Yo'iru Shiva Saneiros, that it had seven candles. What is the significance of seven? Why did the menorah have Dafka seven? Now, to understand this, we have to understand what was the purpose of the menorah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, the Gemara tells us he started with the Evan Shesia. This is the Gemara Masechta Yuma. The Evan Shesia was a stone at the core of the world. And it's called Shesia to mean weave. He wove around that core until he physically developed the entire earth. It is on that place, on that rock, where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was built and the Oren was placed there with the Sefer Torah and the tablets eventually to be placed there. This was, we could call, the beginning of the chibur, of the point of connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spiritual world and the physical world. In other words, this is the first place where physical matter started, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu influencing it from his spiritual world. But after all of this is said, this is not really part of the world. Why? Of the physical world. Because it states, Shamayim Shamayim Lashem, Be'oretz Nosan Livnei Odom. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the heavens belong to him, but the land he gave to the people. This is not part of the earth that was given to the people. The proof of it is that nobody's allowed to go there. No one is ever allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's only one exception to that, and that's the Kohen Gadol. And that's only one time a year. That's on Yom HaKippurim. And that's only because of the level that Klal Yisrael is at that time. It's B'chodesh HaShvi in the 7th month, which is the Kodesh, the sanctified month, the 10th day, the 10th level of that month. And that's when we had kapora. We had atonement from the golden calf. And it states that we were kemalachei ashores. We were like angels at that time. And the Kohen Gadol represents Klal Yisrael. And he puts on 8 begodim. So he wears his shmone begodim on that day. It's interesting, he didn't wear it inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but on that day he would wear shmone begodim. See? Oh, excuse me, but he would... No, he always would wear shmone begodim, but he was the one that would wear the 8 garments, which represented something beyond this world. Then he would go and represent Klal Yisrael. So we hardly can say that the Va'odis Nosan Livnei Odom, that that's part of the earth which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to people, that was out of bounds, outside of that exception. And the Gemara goes further. The Gemara says that the Oren was not Tefes Mokov. The Oren took up no space in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You could measure the Kodesh HaKadoshim without the Oren, and you could measure all of the physical space in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Oren, and it will always come out the same. And in other words, it was bilti gashmi. It was as if it was a non-physical place. This was miraculously. And the Gemara tells us, what does the word Oren mean? It comes from the word Or, Shekula Or. Just like in light, it's something which you cannot touch, you cannot feel. So was that. All non-physical. It says further, Misham Boha Or La'elam. It was through here the light came. So, we can hardly say that this was the actual physical world. This was the point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu started the physical world, but it was still at a non-physical level. Now, if the Torah was placed there, that was the place, the home of the Torah, then there's still a problem, because the Torah still hasn't come into our physical world. And it hasn't come to man. Now man is the Iker. He is the Merkaz, the nucleus. He is the main creation of the physical world. All of the rest of the world was created only to serve him. And man was given an enormous power from the fact that he's actually created from both worlds. Rashi explains in Maaseh Bereishis, and in Parshas Bereishis, where the world is being created, Rashi says every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu created one thing from the earth, and then the next day one thing from the heavens. But when it came to man, he created him both from the earth and from the heavens. So he's created from both. Now because of that uniqueness that man has, it gives him an ability. It gives him an ability to bring both worlds together. In him was both the physical and the non-physical world, and he can bring the two worlds together. But if the Torah is in the Oren, and the Oren is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's not going to do man much good. It's a different world. Now, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the physical world, he created a light. And that light is from the Chama, the sun. And that's called the Shemesh. And the Shemesh means Shamesh. It's the great servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was the Mor HaGodol. And this sun gives off this light, which is, we could say, almost non-physical. There is, you cannot touch it. There is physical elements in it, but it's as non-physical as you can get in the physical world. And this light gives light to the entire world. There's no place in the physical world that can totally escape the light of the sun or its energies. It gives off its heat to the entire world. It gives off its sustenance, its energies, its electrical currents to the entire world. And man can take this non-physical light and capture it and harness it and utilize it to serve him in the building and the civilization of the world. What does he do? He can capture its electricity. He can capture its light in a fire, in a wick, in a globe, in hundreds of ways. When he does this, he's actually joining the non-physical to the physical. He's actually transforming the non-physical to the physical. He's creating a synthesis. He's taking non-physical light that you can't touch, you can't smell, you can't feel. He captures it, he harnesses it, and he can do wonders, physical wonders with it, on which the physical world grows and develops. This is in the physical world. So is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with the spiritual light of the Torah. He gave this Torah to the world, and its place is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When man studies this Torah, this is the rashis, the beginning of the connection of man to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, of the creation of man to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, his non-physical world, the Olam HaElyon, the upper worlds. But it's still in a world which you could say an Olam HaNelam. It's still in a concealed level. It has not really entered into the physical world yet. It's in his brain, but it's not come into this world yet. What we need is somehow to bring that light and to bring all of that spiritual, those spiritual powers, and to make them physical. And how do we do this? This we do through the bringing of Torah into the world, the spreading of it, and until finally the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. Because when one fulfills the mitzvahs of the Torah, that's actually the physical manifestation of the Torah of this world. It's the physical manifestation of man's actions, of Al-Pi HaTorah, in accordance to the Torah. Now when we say the mitzvahs, people many times, populace, when you tell them mitzvahs, what do they think of? They think of matzah. They think of shofar. They think of sukkah, tzitzis and tefillin. These are mitzvahs, but these are very, very minute portion of the mitzvahs of the Torah. It's a very, very narrow vision. Firstly, if you will study the Resh Mem Ches, the 248 positive mitzvahs, or the Shin Samach Hei, the 365 negative mitzvahs, you'll see that they incorporate and they encompass the entire world, man in his entire world. They encompass all of his actions and all of his conduct and all of his dealings with his household, with his business relations, with all people. The fact is, there is almost nothing man can do that is not governed by mitzvahs. Whether it's a thought, whether it's dibur, a speech, whether it's a feeling, or whether it's an action. So to say mitzvahs, what are mitzvahs? Shefer, tzitzis. This is the minute of the minute. But further, Shlomo HaMelech said, Bechol drachecha de'ehu, that in all of your ways you shall come close. De'ehu is the word of das, which means to come close, to cleave. In all of your ways you must cleave to Hashem. What does it mean, in all of your ways you must cleave to Hashem? The Rambam, he's quoting the sages, but he explains it as follows. At the end of Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos, he's speaking about someone who keeps himself healthy. He says, you do exercise, you go to gym. It's telling a person must do exercise. So today people go to gym to do exercise. He says, you must be very, very careful what you eat. You should go and eat nutritious foods. So this is nutrition. He says, you should make sure that you sleep sufficiently. You should make sure that your life is hygienically touched, and so on and so on. And then he says, if a person does this, and his intentions is that he should be healthy, and his body and his mind should be strong, in order, Lodases Hashem, in order that he'll be able to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's impossible for a person, because it's impossible for a person to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to understand his Torah, v'hu chole, or hu ra'ov, or echad me'avariv ko'ev, and he's sick, or he has a pain, nimtso, amahalech, b'derech zeh kol yom aveviris Hashem tamid. Comes out, therefore, that someone who serves Hashem, someone who does this, Kol Yomov Eved Es Hashem, he's constantly serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of his actions. Afil B'Shor Sh'Neisei V'Neisein, he says, even when he does business, if a person does business in order that he should be able to make a living, in order that he could give Parnosa for his household, bring for his wife and bring up his children, and to do mitzvahs, he says, it's a kol avedas Hashem. This is all mitzvah. According to this, you go to gym with the right intentions. The Rambam says, this is b'chol drochecha de'ehu. This is what Shlomo HaMelech is talking about. Ba'afilu b'shoshu yoshein. He says, a person does mitzvahs while he's asleep. Because when he's sleeping, if he goes to sleep in order to rest himself, in order that he should be strong and healthy and he won't get sick and he can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nimtza shina shalai avoda lamoka Baruch Hu. The sleeping is a mitzvah. So you see, the mitzvah is not limited to shofar, not limited to tzitzis. The sleeping is a mitzvah. Val inyan zeh tzivoy chachomim bi'omru v'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim. And this is what the chachomim meant and said, all of your acts, if it's done for the sake of heaven, ultimately for the sake of heaven, it's kula mitzvah, it's all mitzvah. And that's what Shlema HaMelech said, b'chochmasi b'chol d'rocheha de'ehu. You shall know and cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all of your ways. And then he will lead you in the right direction. Now, the ultimate. One might say that the ultimate that a person should aim for is b'chol drocheho deyu, that when all of his acts are part of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's more than that. If a person achieves that, or he aims for that, and he achieves it, that's the ultimate of bringing the Torah, the spiritual Torah, into the physical world. Because the Torah is not in this world. The fact is, it really doesn't belong in this world. This is a world of Eitzim Vavonim, mortar, matter, and the Torah spiritual. What manifestation, what place does it have in this world? Even when we study Torah alone, it's locked up in the brain. The brain is non-physical, the thought processes. When a person reaches that level, this is the greatest manifestation of the Torah and its light in this world, in the physical world. What he has done, he has harnessed all of the physical, all of the spiritual properties of the Torah, and he has made them physical and put them into the physical development of the world. Just as one in the physical level will do, with all of the non-physical properties of the sun, we would call them non-physical, there are physical elements, but they're the most non-physical of the physical world, harnesses them, transforms them, and builds a world with them. And this is the tachlis, this is the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah in the world. Now, this is what the menorah represented. The Oren represented the meeting of the two worlds. That's why it was on top of the Evan Shasiyo. It was on top of this great rock that HaKadosh Baruch Hu started as a little stone and wove until he created the physical world. That was the first point of contact. And that's where the Torah came into the world. But it hadn't come into the world yet. Because that was out of bounds. That's not Nosan Nigmeodim, that was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, from there it had to come into the physical world. Every keli, every utensil object represented something in the Beis HaMikdosh. The Oren represented the crown of Torah, the Shulchan represented kingship, the royalty, the altar represented the crown of Kuhuna. But the menorah had its own job. The menorah was to take the light of the Torah and to bring it into the world, into the physical world, and to make what was from spiritual, from non-physical matter, into physical matter. This was its purpose. Therefore, its place was dafke in the Kodesh. place was not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Its place was in the Kodesh, which is this world. There the Kohanim went every day. But it was right next to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was not right next to the place where the Orem was. And the Kohanim would go there every day. And they would light the candles. And that would capture the light. The source of that was the Torah. It would capture that light. Now the Gemara asks the question, generally, if you put a light in a room, what is its purpose? To light up the room. So we would think that if you had the menorah in the Kodesh, it was to light up the Kodesh. Gemara says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need any light. That was his place, and Hashem doesn't need any light. The fact is, the Shekhinah is all light. That light was not for the Kodesh. It states that light was to bring the light of the Kodesh, of the Mikdosh, into the world. And that's why its candles were facing inwardly towards the central shaft to show that the purpose of the light was not to light up the Kodesh. The purpose, it had a different purpose. When you put a candle in a room, you want to light the room. Now, this was to bring the light of the room outside. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he built the windows in a way not like we would build them, to get the maximum amount of light from outside in, but in order that the inner light could go out to the world. And this is why its candles were seven. We asked, why seven? Why not six? Why not eight? The reason is because eight represents something beyond this world. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was represented by eight. There only the Kohen Gadol could go. And he wore the eight garments. Six is representative of the Shesh Yishmei HaMelacha, the 6 days of labor in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and in which we work. So what is the significance of seven? We know Shabbos is seven. But what is its significance? Seven represents the Chibur, that had the power to join both worlds and to transform both worlds into one world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. In 6 days he made a world, but it was a world of work. But more than that, it was what we could perhaps call a non-sanctified world. It was a secular, non-sanctified world. It lacked the sanctity of the higher worlds. But it was very much a physical world. The higher worlds, they were very sanctified, but they were not a physical world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed something to join the two worlds, and that's what Shabbos was. Shabbos is both physical and non-physical, and it brings the two worlds together, and it brought Kedusha into this world. As it states that on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'akadosh esho. Through this he sanctified the world. So is it with this menorah. This menorah, the light, there's plenty of light in the upper worlds. This physical world, there is no spiritual light. The menorah had seven candles. It could bring the two worlds together, transform them, connect them, and make one out of them. And this, when Shabbos came to the world, it states the world was Vayachal Elokim Bayim HaShvi. It was Sholem. Only after the seventh day, after the sixth day, it was not Sholem yet. It was not complete because it lacked this level. After the seventh day, it was Sholem. It states Bo Shabbos Bo Menucha. And then there was Menucha. Menucha is when you complete something, you can stop. But if something is half finished, there's no rest because you have to keep finishing it. Then there was Menucha. Light is representative of something which is taught in totality. Because if it's lacking light, what is darkness? Darkness is the lacking of light. Well, light represents that there's nothing lacking. Now, accordingly, if you come into a shul, the shul is known as a Migdash Mi'at. It's a replica. It's our replica of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's where we have an Oren, and in the Oren we have the Sefer Torah. And there's lights, menorahs, and there's a bima, which represents the Mizbeach. You come into a shul, and the shul has an Oren, and many Sifrei Torah. Beautiful Sifrei Torah. So you say, well, how wonderful. Beautiful Oren. No, it's not so wonderful. What good is that doing us? It's good for the shul. It's good for the Oren. But what does it do for the people? This was not the purpose of the Torah. That would have been the purpose of the Oren had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not made the menorah. The purpose of the Torah is that it should have a place in this world. It should have a place in man who's the center point of this world. It should have a physical manifestation in this world. And this was what the menorah represented. This is actually what Moshe told the angels. When the angels, when Moshe came up to receive the Torah, the angels wanted to kill him because they said, Chem de Ganuz, you're coming and taking our Torah away from us. And you're going to take it down there to earthly beings. So Moshe said, where is the place of the Torah? By you or by us? So they said, it's ours. He says, what good is it doing you? What's the purpose? The Torah says how one should live. You don't have to live. You're angels. The Torah said you should not steal. No, you don't have to not steal. You don't deal with money anyhow. The Torah said you should not kill. No, you have no jealousy. You have no hatred. The Torah's not doing any good by you. It's by us it has to be. And with that, he was menatzeach. He was victorious over the angels. I once heard from our late Rabbi Aloy, Zichein Lebracha, which he said over, he was speaking at a Hachnosa Sefer Torah. No, actually it was not a Hachnosa Sefer Torah, I think it was a Hachnosa, it was at a Pareches, they had donated a new curtain, and maybe a new Oren and a new curtain in a shul. And he was speaking at it. And he said over from the Chofetz Chaim, Zichron Baruch Hu. The Chofetz Chaim was in Western Europe. The Chofetz Chaim lived in Eastern Europe. That was Lithuania and Eastern Poland. But he was traveling, and he was in Western Europe. And there, they were dedicating a new Sefer Torah in a shul. And they asked him to come and speak. Now, Eastern Europe was very poor. Western Europe was very very wealthy. It was Hungary, and Germany, and so forth. Comes into the shul. It's a magnificent shul. Yeah. It's a whole edifice. It's a large shul. It's done up beautifully. Magnificent Oren. With the pareches, with curtains, and so forth. So the Chofetz Chaim said as follows. He said there were two sisters, and each one subsequently got married. One married a very poor man, and one married a very, very wealthy man. And they, each one went on their own way. They lived in different cities. A number of years later, the one that married the poor man went to visit the one who married the wealthy man. She came into the house and she saw a house of beautiful carpeting and curtains and chandeliers and furniture, gold, silver, whatnot. She had never seen such a thing like that. She asked her sister, "Must be so beautiful to live here. You must be very happy." She says, "No, I'm not so happy." "Isn't your husband good to you?" "No, my husband's very good to me. But I'm lonely." "Why?" She says, "My husband, he's busy in his business. And whenever I asked him about his business or anything, he would say, 'That's not for you to worry about. You don't have to bother yourself with that. See? You just tell me what you need and what you want, and I will bring it to you. From one end of the world to the other, I'll bring it to you. But you don't have to concern yourself with my sorrows and my problems and my business and so forth.'" She says, "I feel very, very lonely." Then she asked her sister, "What kind of house do you live in?" She told her, like a Litvisha house, what kind of house it was. "And are you happy?" "Oh, yes, I'm very happy. My husband comes home every day. He tells me what he did. He asks me my advice and my opinion. And we talk and I help him. And we feel together." Now he says to the people, "Maybe you'll want to know, what does this have to do with Aknasa Sefer Torah?" He says there are two types of shuls. So one type of shul, he says, where the Sefer Torah is very unhappy. The people will give it whatever it wants. They will make an oran out of gold for it. They will make a beautiful pareches for it out of the best velvets. They will build a building for it, the most beautiful architecture. But the Sefer Torah will be very lonely. The Sefer Torah will want to know what's going on. The people will say, "No, no, no, that's not for you to worry about. You just stay here and you don't have to worry. Whatever you need will bring you." Yeah? The Sefer Torah is very lonely and very sad. So this is another type of shul. It's a shul which, a literature shul, yeah, doesn't have all of these things. But the people will not do one thing. One thing you ask them to do, they'll say, "I have to go ask the Sefer Torah." And they will go out and take the Sefer Torah. And they will learn from it. And they won't make a move without asking first advice. What does the Torah say? What does the Torah say? And there the Torah rejoices. See? This was the talk he gave. So this is what we're speaking about. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs? The Oren. He needs the Sefer Torah there. He gave the Sefer Torah to go into the world. And he made a physical world. So it's got to become physical. How can it become physical? It becomes physical when it manifests itself in every part of the physical world. It brings its light to every part of the world. This is what the Gemara in Seita says, "Kama tipshoi hani bavloim." Bovel, the populace, didn't have Kavod HaTorah. They didn't have honor and respect for the Talmidei Chachamim. So the Gemara says, what fools they are. Before a Sefer Torah, they'll stand up. And before a Talmud Chacham that has the Sefer Torah in him, that's the Sefer Torah of this world, they won't stand up. So it comes out like this. The pattern is this. When a person studies Torah and he labors in Torah, that's the Tchilas Or. That's the beginning of the light which comes into the world. And the more he learns and the more he understands and the more he grapples to understand, he is bringing more light into the world. But it's not total yet, because it might be in his mind, but it might be in his heart, but it remains there. And that's why the Torah said, "V'dibaltem bom." It's not enough to learn Torah. With the Baltimore, you have to speak in Torah. When you start to speak in Torah, you are bringing the light into a physical world. Because Dibur is only with a physical mouth and a physical tongue. And then it states, in a Torah Nignas Elebe Chabura, with a Chover. You learn with a Chover, you're bringing more Torah into the world. Vishinamtam Levonecho, you teach Torah, more light's coming into the physical world. Belimaritem Esam Livnechem. Then it states, if you teach Ben Chaverei, not only your own children, but even other children, or Afilu Bnei Amaratzim, it states, or those of the ignorant, or Hizaru Bnei Anim, the poor, all of this, you are bringing more light of the Torah into the physical world. And it states a person will have enormous reward for that. Yeshiv b'yeshiva shel malo. He'll be in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's yeshiva. Because all of this is spreading further and further the light of Torah. And this is how Lamed Amanas Lamed. Therefore, one has to learn in order to give it over. Because if he learns to keep it for himself, it's like the Torah in the Oren without the menorah. But then further, that's not the ultimate yet. The ultimate is when it's Almanas Lases, when he fulfills the Torah. Because he can only fulfill it through physical actions. Or, let's put it this way, almost all of the mitzvahs, he can fulfill even without physical actions, but in its shleimus, in its totality. And we're not talking merely about to take the esrog or to put on the tzitzis. That's the whole Torah. The whole Torah is 248 positive commandments and 365 negative commandments that encompasses the whole man and all of the world. But more so, the Rambam says, the Chazal say, Behold, Rachecha de'ehu, when he's in his business, when he's in the gym, when he sleeps, he can cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This means that a person can fulfill this Torah with all of his thoughts, with all of his emotions, with all of his speech, with all of his physical actions, with his walking, with his standing, with all of his possessions, through his tzedakah, through his chesed, through speaking to people. Bechol d'rochecha de'ehu. Shlomo HaMelech says that I will come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of my ways, I will cleave to him. Then the Torah has come to the physical world and has become part of the physical world. And the purpose is, though, you have those that say, well, let's go into our own corner. We will ghettoize ourselves. We will escape the world. Or there are others that say, a monastery. We'll go to a monastery. We'll go to a convent. We'll go to a convent. We'll go up to the Everest, to Mount Everest. Or we'll seclude ourselves. That's contrary. It's a total antithesis of the purpose of the Torah. Because the Torah was given to light up every part of the physical world. And because of that, there are many, many very severe rebukes to the one who tries to take the light of the Torah away from the world. For example, it states that someone who's Menea Torah from a Talmud, someone who has something he can teach, and he doesn't teach it, the punishment is a severe punishment. It states, Chayiv kol chochem v'chochem l'lamei Torah. It states, every person who knows Torah is obligated to teach it. Everyone who can render a Torah decision is obligated. It states, "Call me Shorei Lahiris ve'ena Meira Harbe Halolim." It says, "Whoever is capable of rendering the decision of Torah, and he withholds it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands a severe punishment for it, because he is holding back the light which he gave for the purpose of it." It would be like someone who wants to capture the sunlight and block it off from the world. Not only that, but states, then you destroy the Torah. Because the light of the Torah has no gvul, has no boundaries. And it will spread. And this person is keeping it from spreading. Now, this is what Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Mishlei. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. A mitzvah is a ner, and the Torah is the light. What did he mean by it? You take in the physical world. You have this abstract light that's coming from the sun. This light, like we said, is almost non-physical. But we can capture it. How do we capture it? We capture it in a globe, in a battery. We capture it in a candle. We capture it with a wick, with oil. How did we capture it? Through physical elements. That's a mitzvah. The Torah is or. The Torah is the light, is the source of the light. The mitzvah captures it and manifests it physically. You capture it through a word. You capture it through an act. You capture it through your money. You capture it through a fruit, through anything. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. And then we see from here, which we've spoken about many times, that a person's mitzvah is as great as the light of the Torah that he interjects in it. The soul of that mitzvah, what is the difference between you take an esrog as a sitfan, or you take a piece of matzah? What's the difference between a matzah of mitzvah and a matzah that's not mitzvah? Physically, the same thing, but why? In two worlds. Why? Because one has been interjected with the light of the Torah. But everyone's mitzvahs are only as great as the light of the Torah that he's capable of interjecting into it. That's why it states, Ein bur yerei chet, v'le'am aretz koset. The ignorant, they cannot become great in mitzvahs, because their mitzvahs are detached from the light of Torah. In accordance to how much light of Torah one can interject into his mitzvah, that's how great his mitzvahs are. The Maral in Perek Tes Zayin and the Siva Torah goes one step further. And he says, look, we've just spoken about the Torah. We've just spoken about the Torah. And we spoke about the mitzvah. He says there's something else also that is similar to this. A mitzvah is like a ner, like a physical light. Ki ner mitzvah. There's another pasuk that states, Ner Hashem nishmas odom. The soul of the person is also like a light, like a candle. And what does that mean? She says as follows. What is a physical candle? A physical candle is where you have captured non-physical light with physical elements. So he says the candle actually is like it's from two worlds. From one end it's attached to the sun, from the other end it's attached to the earth, to the physical world. Because what is made, it's made from earthly things, but the light comes from the sun. He says, so is a mitzvah. The mitzvah is attached at two ends. The mitzvah is attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's his rotzen, it's coming from his Torah, but it's attached to the Adam, because it can be fulfilled only through physical man. He says the same with the soul. The soul is attached to man. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the soul to man. But at the same time, it's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, just like it states, Ner Mitzvah, Mitzvah is like a candle, it states, Ner Hashem Nishmas Odom. The soul of man is also like a candle. There are two sides to it. One side is attached to the higher worlds, and one side is attached to the lower worlds. The soul is attached to the higher world and attached to man. It's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah is attached to Hashem and his Torah, and it's attached to man because only man can fulfill it. And similar in our physical world, a physical candle can be fulfilled only through physical elements, but at the same time it's attached to the sun. And this, Omer Blazer brings to the Medrash Tanhuma in Kedoshim. Omer Blazer, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Neiri B'yodcho. He says, my candle is in your hand. What does that mean? My mitzvahs. My mitzvahs, that's my candle, is in your hands. Nercha B'yodi. Your candle is in my hands. That's the soul. The soul I've given to you, it's in my hands. I can take it away. My mitzvahs, my mitzvahs are in your hands. You take my mitzvahs and you fulfill them. Imato meshamer es neiri, if you will guard my candle. In other words, that's my mitzvahs. Ani meshamer es nercho. I will guard your candle. Your candle is the soul of the person. The soul of the person I will watch. This explains for us the Orin HaKodesh with the Sefer Torah and the tablets. And this explains for us the menorah hata'orah, what its purpose was. And now we can understand our questions. We asked, why seven? Because the seven is the link to connect and join the two worlds and make one out of them. And what was its purpose? Its purpose was to bring the light of the Torah, which was from a different world, a non-physical world, to make it physical and bring it into the world. Now it's brought that the old Mikdash was built all as part of man. This is man's job. Man's job is to bring the light of the Torah, which is totally non-physical and from a non-physical world, put it into the physical world, utilize the physical world and manifest it there, then it'll bring light to our world. And that way both worlds will be joined with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light. This avoda, to do this, this is the most difficult avoda. This is the avoda kosher shibakulan. This was really the one who perfected this was Yaakov Avinu. Abraham put down one pillar, Yitzhak another. Yaakov was known as Yaakov Ishtam, Shalimta, totality. He was able to bring both worlds together. He didn't live. If you live in the upper worlds, then you're an angel. Kodesh Baruch Hu's got plenty of angels. If you live in the lower worlds, that was kibahema, like an animal. He's got plenty of animals. The chat was to create a man that was made from both worlds. And Yaakov became the most perfect man. That's when he saw Sulam Mutzav Arza. He saw a ladder joining both worlds together. And he was the one who perfected the Beis HaMikdash. When he went to sleep on the Mokam HaMikdash. Because it's through the Beis HaMikdash that we do this. This is the Avedah Koshe B'Kulan, the most difficult Avodah. It's easy to be an angel and it's easy to be an animal. But to take both worlds and make one, this is the most difficult. This is the greatest Avodah. So this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron. What are you so upset about? What are they doing? He says, your Avodah will be greater than all of theirs. Because your Avodah will be, their Avodah is to build the Mishkan, or to build the sanctuary. Everybody had a portion in it. And everybody will come and bring, dedicate the altar and so forth. But you will be Madlik the Neiris, it was through the Kahanim that they led the way of bringing this light into the physical world. And this is why Moshe had such difficulty with it. This he couldn't understand. How can you take both worlds and make one out of them? And then it's even greater. It's even greater than the upper world alone. Many claimed, leave the Torah up there, and for the Malachim it'll be greater. Now, this is why when it came to make the menorah, Moshe was having such a difficult time, and he had to. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to help him make it. And actually, this was the ultimate of the whole building of the sanctuary. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Vishachanti b'seichom, that I may dwell amongst you." Can dwell up there, that's easy. But that I can dwell together with you. So this was Aaron's tafkid. This was the for Aaron. One final little note. We asked, Rashi asked, why does it say Ba'alei Secho? When you bring up the candles. It should have said when you light the candles. So then he brings Dorsha Rabbeinu. He brings from the sages. Shetzorach lahadlik at sheteya shalheves oldemei aleha. You have to light until the flame goes up by itself. When you light a candle, you have a wick, you have oil. To one's eye, there's no potential there of fire. What is it? But if you hold the flame there till it ignites, then it'll flare up on its own. And it'll burn on its own. This is the same thing with Torah and the neshama, the soul of a Jew. You might think, what does it, how can you motivate the soul of a Jew? How can you light up the soul of the Jew? You have to keep lighting it all of the time. It'll go out. Now, once the light of the Torah just touches it, and it's there for long enough, then the shalheves is elamei aleho. The soul will burn by itself. The fire will go up. Just as when you light a candle. So these are the teachings of the menorah, and these are also the teachings, like we mentioned, of the 45th attribute of the Memches Dvorim, that one must learn Torah, Lilmeid, not only Almanas Lamed, but Almanas Lasos, because otherwise the Torah remains in another world. And the purpose of the Torah was to bring it in every part of this world. So therefore a person has to design his life that Kol Maaseho, all of his actions, are actually a manifestation of the wisdom of the Torah. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.